The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. We are going to talk today. I wrote a column this morning about let's put down our phones, stop scrolling, start talking was the headline. And I'm very passionate about this. I know some have already said you're sounding like a get off my lawn guy. And no, because I've had people that are in their teens and 20s that have said exactly what I'm feeling. And that is we are spending entirely too much time on this and believing everything that's on this on social channels. We're believing everything that we see on cable news. And I don't know why people are sheep. I don't know. So it has nothing to do with the political side of things. I know that if I watch a certain network, I'm going to hear that everything is great by our current president. And if I watch another network, I'm going to hear that everything is awful from our current president. And I'm just going to look at it and say, how are things really going? And then when it comes time to vote, I'll figure it out. I think where we are right now is a lot of coaches and players stepping all over themselves. It's like everybody's walking through a minefield and they don't want to step on the mine. They don't want to hit the tripwire. And so I've seen where there's prominent voices that we don't hear from at all in the sporting world, because I think that they have been told by their PR people, you're better off not saying anything and letting this slide on by. Really believe that. And we'll talk about that. When I go with the news cycle and it is Drew Brees, Vic Fangio, Mike Norvell, Aaron Baines, for various reasons, it's just not a good time. It's a shit show out there right now. Okay, let's just call it as it is. Our opening comments are brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most, and that is with life insurance. If you have not taken the time to look into your life insurance in these uncertain times with COVID-19 over the last 4 months and just the unrest, do you have everything handled the way that it should be so that your family is protected if you weren't able to come home tonight? Very simple. Just log on to Sagicor Now. Get your free quote. That's at Sagicor Now. We appreciate Sagicor through the years and their support. Eric Sorensen is with us. What is new on your end? What is on the top of your hit list today that you see in the sports world? Because we're just talking today. I don't want guests today. I just want to wrap.
Well, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, every day someone of authority in the sports world says something, and that something turns into, I think you called it this morning when you and I talked, a brush fire. It's more of like a monsoon or a haboob or a tsunami. And we've seen it in the last 24 hours in the news cycle. The latest is Mike Norvell and that poor sports information director at Florida State. Like, he probably right now is wishing he was at any other position except as the football SID for the Seminoles, because you just can't. I'll let you get into the backstory, but you just can't speak in generalities. You can't do it. And especially around this topic, you just can't do it.
So Mike Norvell was called out by one of his star players at Florida State because Norvell put out statements to The Athletic following the death of George Floyd. Norvell said that he spoke to each player individually about the incident where Floyd, a black man, died, I'm reading here, while being detained by a white Minneapolis police officer. But according to defensive tackle Marvin Wilson, one of the top players on the team, that didn't happen. He's a captain, too. Quote, there was no one and one talk between us and coach, Wilson tweeted. That is a lie, and me and my teammates as a whole are outraged, and we will not be working out until further notice.
I get it. I mean, I completely understand where they're coming from.
The player who of this course. Guy was the team captain.
Yes.
In 2019, and says all players received was a generated text.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like, I'm sure it was like a notepad or a group text or something like that that they can send out to the masses. And I don't know, I wouldn't think Mike Norvell intentionally misled this story, but you're trying to win over a team. You haven't even like been on the practice field really with any of these guys. And that is a huge misstep for a first-year head coach at Florida State.
So as we're sitting here right now, there's a team meeting that's been planned for later today at Florida State.
I would hope so.
Florida State welcomed players back to campus on Monday. This is Norvell's first year. He came over from Memphis, 38-15 record. Now, I'm going to go through the PR world because you and I see it all the time, the spin. So the spin on this will be, well, it was a misunderstanding. Yeah, he sent out a group-generated text, and so I was haphazard in telling the Athletic that I spoke to each player individually. I sent that group text to each player individually. That's how it's going to be spun, right?
Yeah,
I misspoke. I misspoke.
I get. My thoughts were taken out of context is another one of my favorites.
That'll be another one. Yeah, I mean, Eric and I have seen through the years when these poor, like he said, poor. There's people in PR that are really good, and there's people in PR. It's just like, man, you're just flat lying. you're just flat, or you're just not a good person. You're just evil. You just
I understand it, Brad, because the PR people work for the team, so they are invested in it. It is their job to protect the brand. But something like this, I mean, Florida State should go to the highest of highs.
Should he lose his job over this?
It wouldn't surprise me. It would not surprise me if Mike Norvell lost his job. And I can see the school having the okay to do something like that. Wow. And it's sad, but it just is. It's all over news. It's the top of everything. And this is the last thing Florida State needs right now. Much like the New Orleans Saints. So,
well, and we know a player at Florida State, and that's Chubba Purdy, the quarterback from Perry. He moved into his dorm on Tuesday. I spoke to him before he left. I haven't called him today because it's, you know, what's he going to say? He can't say much on this. But there's a valley connection to what is going on in the middle of this brush fire, because let's say you are Chubba Purdy and you are a high school senior now moving into college as a freshman, and you're a quarterback, and you want to be the leader, and you want to be the guy. So if you take a stand of, hey, man, we need to give Coach Norvell a break, do you think, and I can say this pretty confidently, Chubba never faced racism at Perry High School that I know of. You know, I never heard of black, white. Now, in high school, as throughout a program, what Chubba is walking into today, where the team captain is going to stand up and say, we are not working out, and Chubba's just there saying, man, I want to be the quarterback this year. I just want to be the quarterback this year. So how is he going to handle this? Does he have his own personal beliefs? He's very spiritual. And I've been thinking about that because I know him and I know that family so well, and he's right in the middle of this brush fire. And if Mike Norvell gets fired, this quarterback who could have gone to most any place in the country is all of a sudden on no man's land. He's on an island. He has no recourse because it's not like he can say, yeah, mom and dad, who, by the way, are still down there, they're a few hours away from campus, come get me. I'm going to unroll, and I'm going to go sit out a year, and then I'm going to start all over again. I mean, really, Eric, that's where I'm going on this, is that it's not too far of a reach if Mike Norvell gets fired. Beyond that, he's got to sit there and deal with something he's never dealt with before.
And I'm not sure, Brad, how it would work if something like this that happened, if a player said, you know what, I don't want to go to school here and I don't want to play for Norvell and the staff. I don't know if the NCAA would just release it, have Florida State release him from a scholarship. And we all know Chubba Purdy will have plenty of suitors if he decides he doesn't want to go to Florida State.
Sure. But there is an angle in the valley of one of the top players, some would say the top player in the 2019 class, and a quarterback who's sitting out there.
And it's interesting because, you know, Norvell comes from the Todd Graham coaching tree, and we all know how strict Graham was with many things at ASU. So
we also know that Todd liked to just say the same stuff over and over and over.
Sure.
And that's not Eric, I'll tell you right now, I give Todd Graham 2 years tops in Hawaii. Tops in Hawaii. Because the people out on the islands are not going to tolerate that stuff. It's not going to be, you can't come in after games and talk about Pat Tillman over and 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 wrap yourself in a flag. You can't do that.
Or if Coach Graham still has his strict policies when it comes to like hats and sunglasses in the building, like the players are like, it's Hawaii. Like yeah, we all wear hats and sunglasses.
You know, over on the Drew Brees story, so I'll give the Cardinals credit. Today, the Cardinals players are given the day off to go talk to one another about George Floyd or if they just needed a break. I think I've reached my point of saturation of anger and resentment and frustration. That's why I wrote today. I don't know if you read what I wrote, but I'm all over the place because it's the people. People are all over the place. My friends who are black are all over the place. They're angry. Obviously, they saw a murder. We all saw a murder. And then you have the people that have just completely disappeared off the face of the earth that have supported the president because their 401ks are doing well. They haven't shown up anywhere. They are silent. Don't hear them. Then you have these people on the other side that want this, that want a new president. And those are people saying, well, this is actually good because it's showing how incompetent the current president is, and this is really good for our country. There's nothing good, from my view. Nothing good is coming of a black man being murdered by a police officer.
No. and even on just a personal level, I mean, yesterday I had a close friend of mine essentially just lash out at me. And I don't think it was personal. But this is someone that I had never had any sort of conflict with. And I just think this particular person is so on edge about everything that's going on in our country that, you know, I decided just to take the high road because this person, it was not in this person's character and it caught me off guard. And you just have to be understanding of what people are going through right now. That's the understatement of the year.
I had a friend, and you know him, who called me yesterday, and he said, I have so much anxiety, and I'm so stressed out, and I just can't believe that our country is in this space where everybody is so divided. And he said, and I go on Twitter, and I stopped, and I said, that's where you have to stop. You know, if you sit there all day and scroll right now, there's nothing good that comes from scrolling. If you post right now, you may feel good about it as people saying, yeah, that's right. But you still don't see them. If you're not confident enough in your own belief system to call somebody who believes something different than you and your friends and your friendship has become fractured, and your friendship has become non-existent because you have a differing view over what is supposed to happen, whether it's in politics or the ability to go out and march. My daughter marched last night. I was very proud of her. I was very proud of her. And she's in downtown. She came home last night, and that was her. Would go protest. You should go protest. And I feel like what you just described, Eric, a lot of people are going through. I mean, I'm having people all over the place that are wanting to just talk on their social or text me. And it's just, I've said to them, call me. I don't want to text. Texting is not where you're going to solve stuff because you can't see the other person's face. You can't hear the other person's voice. You don't know how angry they are. You don't know how confused they are. And they may make you look at your situation and say, well, maybe I didn't have it all figured out. Like, you know, what Drew Brees said, there are people that are staying on top of him today, even though he said, I completely missed the mark. They're saying he just had his PR person write it, which is probably true in this day and age for athletes, probably true. But at least he's able to turn around and say, I screwed up. What's he supposed to do otherwise? Disappear?
Yeah, I still think we live in a pretty forgiving society. And I think eventually, hopefully, we will get back to being a forgiving society. But right now, no one's forgiving anyone for anything.
Well,
Drew Brees is at the top of that list, regardless of if he put out a PR statement or not.
Sure. But usually what happens, like Drew put it out on Instagram today, apologizing to his friends and teammates in New Orleans and the black community. It's not like he can go individually one by one to everybody. That would be ideal. That would be ideal. To go to Malcolm Jenkins and others and say, can we meet at a restaurant and let's just talk in person and figure this out? No cameras, no PR. And what has happened is we want to show everybody through our social channels rather than just go one by one. Can you take a football player and say, I need to meet with everybody that's in that locker room? Yeah, you could. Guys, I'm going to talk and apologize coming up at 2 p.m. to you in person, wherever it's comfortable. Or I'm going to get up and go over to your house and try to visit with you and make some sense of this. Instead of writing the check, which you and I see, we see the checks written, we see the statements released. We've seen it for years and years in people that wrap themselves in flags or wrap themselves in race. And then we have these conversations only when we have a situation like what we saw with George Floyd. If that police officer doesn't do that to George Floyd, we're talking about the coronavirus. Instead, as we should be talking about this day after day after day. There's some other sports stuff going on. I mean, heaven forbid, the Suns may actually make the playoffs in a roundabout way. On the other side, there's a man who I really admire that today is the day that he passed away 20 years ago. And he's impacting a lot of people today on this subject because I'm seeing his name invoked. I'll tell you who that guy is and a little bit about him that may make you think after this time out. So 20 years ago today, John Wooden passed away. John Wooden was someone that the great late UCLA coach really impacted me. Back at early in my broadcast career, I would have Coach Wooden on our show on the Mighty 690 in Southern California. And through the years, following UCLA basketball and having people like Bill Walton in my life, as a broadcast partner and as a friend, and he would talk about Coach Wooden. And it's really cool in this day and age how Bill Bill's very bothered by what's going on and spoke about it today over in San Diego. But it made me think of Coach Wooden and what is happening. Coach Wooden, I taught this in my classes at Cronkite. Coach Wooden came up with the Wooden Pyramid of Success. If you want to do yourself a favor in life, in my opinion, I'm not telling you how to live your life, but it's something that I taught all of my students, just go look at the Wooden Pyramid of Success. Tell them on the opening day of class, I'm going to ask you on the final, on the first question, to diagram the Wooden Pyramid of Success. And then in the first quiz, the very first question, diagram the Wooden Pyramid of Success, and they'd flat bomb it because they didn't believe me. They wouldn't study it. The Wooden Pyramid of Success, if you look at it online, and this morning when I saw that Coach Wooden passed away, the LA Times devoted most of their sports section today. Bill Plaschke wrote a great column on it. Anthony Lynn, the Chargers coach, talked about a lunch he had with Coach Wooden one time and others. And you go through all of the traits. On the bottom level, it's industriousness, it's friendship, it's loyalty, it's cooperation, it's enthusiasm. Those are things that I try to bring every day. And the next level, it's intentness, it's initiative, it's alertness, it's self-control, and I try every day. And the third level is condition and skill and team spirit, and I try every day. And near the top, it's poise and confidence, and I try every day. And at the very top, it's competitive greatness, and I try every day. I try, I fail every day. Doesn't mean I don't try. And I think today, in this time, in this period, I know this may be really deep, but on a sports end of things, if you were just to look at this pyramid of success, go Google it and look at it and ask yourself intently, nobody else needs to be around. Where am I at on these issues? A friend of mine called me on Tuesday afternoon, and he just was very straightforward when he said, I just want to know if you think I'm a racist. And this is a person that I've had open dialogue with through the years and in sports. If I've got racial tendencies or if I have something in me that is not good, I said, well, the fact that you're calling me about it tells me that you probably think you have something inside of you. I go back to what John Wooden wrote about and how he tried to preach this. And if you don't like UCLA basketball, you will go right down the path of he was a cheater and he had this guy lined up and he was able to get all these players lined up and he was this. And I would just flat deny you. Did you ever visit with John Wooden over and over and over and just kind of sit there and hear him speak on, tell me about what self-control means from a basketball standpoint? So you see in this day and age in sports where self-control is, it's not as common as it used to be. Like, I like Larry Fitzgerald's self-control. I really do. I really admire him. Ball gets thrown to Larry and he catches it, just grabs it, gives it the official, goes back. You don't see him lose his mind about being pushed off, shoved off on. Occasionally, he'll let referees know. But the self-control part of him is something that I do admire. His initiative is something that I admire. Larry has been very smart in setting up his post-NFL career. Very smart, very savvy. So he's looking at where things are going to be for him in 10 years, 20 years from now. I haven't heard Larry speak yet on this subject that is going on in our country, nor do I wake up every day and say, well, I got to hear what Larry thinks on this. There's going to come a point in time for everybody to detox, decompress, and then figure out, you know what, I've put everything together, rather than practicing no self-control. So I know that there's certain athletes that have not spoke out yet, and I see stuff on social, and that's why I've taken the stance of trying to do less and less. I'm not on it nearly as much as I was a week ago. I just can't do it. And I don't look at it where every single last player's got to tell me what their belief is on this subject. I bring up John Wooden because I think it's something that everybody can apply to today. I may be dead flat wrong. You may be hearing this saying, this is crap, I'm out, click. It's fine. I'm not going to pander. Eric, did you ever follow John Wooden? Did you ever see the Pyramid of Success or any of that?
No, I've seen it, but I don't have the same connection to John Wooden that you do just because I wasn't. You're not that much older than me, but it's just it wasn't my generation. Like, my generation of coaches was Coach K, Dean Smith, some of the other icons. I know Dean Smith kind of overlapped with John Wooden, maybe.
Bill Frieder,
Lute Olson. You know, that era.
Gene Stallings.
Different sport, but no, not Gene Stallings. I wouldn't put Gene Stallings in that same category as those four coaches, but. No, so to answer a long-winded question, your answer, not really. But I know you have spoke often about the pyramid of success. And I think for people that sort of need to hit reset, maybe going back over and reading the Pyramid of Success is maybe exactly what they need.
I don't know. It's something that caught my eye today. There is some sports news today. Believe it or not, Eric and I have sat here for 30 minutes, and we've not hit on any of it, really, in terms of just hard news, things to kick around, and we will do that after this time out. So tonight there is something sports-related I would suggest that you should watch if you like the Inside the NBA show on TNT with Ernie Johnson as the host, and then Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal and Kenny Smith. And when they weigh in on basketball and social issues, I think it's very, very powerful and very strong. That is tonight. I believe it's at 5 p.m. And they're going to address the new playoff format, too. The Suns, do we say, Eric, that for them to be invited to this, that the 10-year drought is over? Do we say the Suns make the playoffs because they're one of the teams that's invited to Orlando? Do we do that?
The Suns are going to Dayton. They were like one of the play-ins. I mean, they're and I'm not calling this the playoffs. They're in the NIT. And if they maybe win the NIT, they'll get to go to be a play-in team. That's the way I look at it. So
do you think, because there are teams like Charlotte and Chicago and New York and Detroit and Atlanta and Cleveland and Minnesota and Golden State, that the NBA said, no, you're not invited? Your season's over. Do you think the Suns, because of Devin Booker and DeAndre Ayton and the TV possibilities of numbers, that they were invited?
Possibly.
I think that there's some of that. I think there's some of
that. Sure. And I think and that's okay. But they're still like, they're like the below average of the below average teams, if that makes sense. They're like they're like the worst of the below average. So,
well, I think David Griffin is one that really pushed this. Because Griff was saying, the general manager of New Orleans, he was saying, we want to play. We don't want this to be over. And so the NBA is like, well, we could get Zion in the postseason. We just got to come up with a gimmick.
Well, and I think it's a fine line, though, because the Atlanta Hawks were none too happy that they got left out. And they've got a pretty good young player in Trae Young who would bring eyeballs to TV sets. So the NBA had to make a decision. It's good that the NBA made a decision. It sounds like they're going to play, which is good. And I found it really fascinating, Brad. I think I was watching SportsCenter last night with Scott Van Pelt, and Woj said, or someone said, that the NBA is considering, it was Jeff Passan on the baseball side, changing their season to compete with baseball so they don't have to compete with football.
Yeah.
Which I think is really interesting. Instead of playing, instead of starting in the heart of the fall where there's everything happening, the NBA is like, we'll start in February, and we'll just run it through the summer, and we're not really scared that's baseball sandbox, and we'll just go play in it, and that tells you that the NBA is a lot more forward thinking than Major League Baseball, because here we are, we're coming up on June 7th, and nothing. No progress.
Nothing. No, it's what I was watching SportsCenter last night too, and they bleeped Scott Van Pelt on an F-bomb.
A couple times.
Yeah, which I like the raw emotion of people. I think they did a Booger McFarlane interview and he dropped some things.
Yep. They're like, the same thing.
Like, wow, okay.
On Drew Brees.
Yeah, on Drew Brees, right. And then I was watching Jimmy Fallon, and it was a political show, and the nighttime guys have just had to readjust. And I was out. Like, I was watching, 5 minutes into it, it's like, this is not what I usually get here. I just need a chuckle or something. And it's just interesting to see how our industry is trying to grapple with so much going on right now. Friends of mine friends that that are furloughed here in town, like, stay focused, stay ready, but you can't work this week because we can't afford to pay you. Like, that's a dead end. That is a dead end. Eventually, it's going to wear the people down, saying, these people committed to winning or not? So.
And I also have to wonder if what we are seeing on, like, staple iconic shows like SportsCenter now is going to continue. Like, are we going to see a more liberal version of Scott Van Pelt where he is dropping F-bombs? Or is this just a situation now because of what's going on with all the civic unrest that he is expressing those feelings? Because we've seen an evolution.
Yeah,
we've seen all these sports evolving and trying new things, and the NBA doing this cool little playoff format they're doing, and I just wonder if it's going to trickle all the way down to how TV shows are put together, how reality shows are put together, how anything that is popular and grasps people's attention, if what we've been through in 2020 is just going to be the new wave moving forward.
Well, and there's the what is next side of it. Like 10 days ago, if I had told you that there would be racial unrest, civil unrest, anxiety to the 10th degree of anything other than coronavirus 10 days ago, you would have said, no, there's not. If I would have told you in early January or mid-January on a Sunday afternoon when Kobe Bryant's helicopter went down that, by the way, it's only going to get worse. You know, we're going to have this virus that's going to come along, even though the virus had already been out. And I think there were, I don't know, I just kind of looked at it and said, well, that's kind of weird, but never thought we'd see 30 million Americans. I mean, if I told you in January, hey, 30 million Americans are going to lose their job.
That's crazy. Yeah, I mean, we get punched in the eye, and just as that black eye starts to heal, we get punched in the other eye. That's kind of the way I look at what's happened over the last 3 or 4 months.
What do you make out of Michael Turk? So if you guys didn't hear about this story, because so much, and rightly so, has been focused on the big national story. But Michael Turk was the Arizona State punter last year who was terrific. He was great. And he decides, I'm going to go to the NFL draft. Why not? And he goes to the NFL draft, and he doesn't get drafted. And so he's like, well, I think I just want to go back to Arizona State. Well, you can't do that in the past. So yesterday afternoon, in the middle of everything that's going on, is there's this little story that you look at and say, wait a minute, here's a guy that is the first that I know of. Do you know of anyone else?
No. No. Yeah. And I think it's great for a number of reasons. Number one, it's great for ASU because he's an unbelievable punter. I mean, he's a game changer, and you're getting him back into your program. And it reminded me a little bit of what happens in the NBA. I mean, if the kid, what is it, doesn't hire an agent and doesn't necessarily go to the draft, but gets the evaluation and they're like, you need another year, then they just go back to college. And I don't see a problem making that same rule apply to college football as well, especially if a kid doesn't get drafted. And the big reason, Brad, was Michael Turk can't work out for any of these teams. So here we are, you know, like we're almost to the middle of June and he hasn't been able to show his stuff other than what he did at the combine when he was showed off his ridiculous strength on the bench and had a great year last year at ASU.
So what does that tell you? It tells you that you can be a punter and you can go show off your ridiculous strength, as you put it, well put, but it doesn't mean jack if you can't punt. Now he can punt, but he couldn't get in front of people to show them, right? And does a combine really mean that much if you're a specialist? Now that you look at this.
Apparently not.
No.
Because he was excellent. And I thought he would be a sixth, you know, seventh round pick.
Yeah, because I did too.
Special teams is a huge part of the NFL. And if you can have someone that can flip the field with one kick, it's invaluable because they all play the field position game. But good for Michael Turk, and I'm sure Coach Edwards is more than happy to bring him back.
Well, and look, Eric, somewhere out there now, there was going to be people that go through the same deal now as Michael Turk. There's going to be players that go through this. And it's another way of looking at the NCAA and saying, you know, do you guys have a commissioner in place? I just thought it was really interesting that somebody somewhere stamped a piece of paper and said, yeah, you're right, we'll let him come back in. Rather than the commissioner of college football saying, yeah, we had a situation that we addressed. Like, I don't know who did this, but.
And I hope for his sake and other football players in the same boat that this becomes more of a trend than an aberration because, I don't know, kids, you should be able to test the waters. And if it's not the right time and you have eligibility left, you should be able to go back to school.
Yeah. Hey, on the high school platform, so I got a call from our good buddy Jason Jewell, and we were talking about some things. And he'd mentioned that one of the coaches at Brophy wants to do a cleanup of streets with police officers with the football teams, not just Brophy's, by the way. They've reached out to Desert Edge. They've reached out to, I think it's Sunny Slope, Saguaro, and others. I put the word out on my channels to some coaches and just said, hey, you guys might want to get involved in this. It's not a photo op, okay? Don't have it be a photo op. If media shows up, fine. But I want to mention that today because we have coaches that watch what we do and parents that watch what we do. I had a parent over at Hamilton who reached out to me already on this, and I connected him with Jason. I think for our young high school athletes to see a positive situation and to go, if it's cleaning up neighborhoods with police officers side by side and the police gives them a card, talks to them afterwards, you can break down some barriers. That's what you have to do here. So
it's a really cool idea.
And it's great.
We need more of that right now.
Well, and we need to encourage those coaches in what we do, in what we do. I hear our industry and see our industry, and they're being furloughed and they're asking questions of themselves. I was on a Zoom call with Monty Williams the other day, and one of the media people on there started asking about what can I do to help, which is fine. It's fine that we're all confused, or not all, but some are confused as to what to do. Some are young and just don't know any better. And so I think a situation like that is one that would really be beneficial. All right, partner, we're done. Good work. Good chatting. Good seeing you. Our chairman of the board, as always, is the Iron Man, Jared Nielsen. There's plenty of content over on our website at sports360az.com, sports360az.com. We're Arizona centric. Eric's writing a zone read today, tomorrow.
Today. It'll be out usual Thursday.
Lots of notes on the high school end. I put up a column on social media, really bugging me and stop scrolling on your phone, and talk to people. Just go talk to people in person. Pick up the phone and call and use this voice. In this society, we talk about find your voice on this. Don't find your voice on this today. Find your voice here and go visit with people. Have yourself a great day.